Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday, a Sunday named for a doctrine. I know you're so excited, aren't you? You've been waiting for this day, you know, just like you wait for Christmas. And we're here, Trinity Sunday. Preaching on Trinity Sunday is not what most preachers look forward to doing. And in fact, often try to bring in a guest preacher or get the intern or seminarian to preach. I asked Grant if he wanted to do it. But he reminded me it's his birthday, so it wouldn't be a nice thing to make him preach on his birthday. Happy birthday, Grant. Yeah. Perhaps the most challenging aspect of preaching or teaching about the Trinity is that we are overwhelmed with information and possibilities of how this topic could be addressed. For hundreds of years, the church spent time working this out. Some of our best heresies, in fact, come from the struggle to explain the nature of God as one and yet three. Just about every Sunday, we reaffirm the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. And if you look in the Book of Common Prayer in the back on page 864, you will find the Creed of St. Athanasian, which is focused on God as Trinity. And to read from that, just for a moment, the first part, it says, "And the Catholic faith is this," and Catholic in this way meaning universal, "that we worship one God in Trinity, and in Trinity unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal." And it goes on and on. And it gives you a sense of the sort of prep work you might need to do, actually, before being able to really dive into this and understand all that's being said. This creed has, in fact, been placed in the historic, it's in the prayer book, they call it the historical documents section. And some have argued that the Nicene Creed should be placed there too. They have. In fact, some of you may be familiar with the Reverend Dr. Reginald Fuller, seminary professor, scholar, written books. He lived here in Richmond in his retirement, so you may know him, may have spoken here probably. He's passed on to greater glory. Mrs. Fuller still lives here in Richmond at Westminster Canterbury. Reg, as you know, was not known as particularly progressive, but rather traditional. Certainly open, though. And he's the one I heard say the Nicene Creed should be in the historic documents, and when it is used, sparingly, I think he was saying, that it be sung, that we sing it. I thought that was interesting. Now, I do believe in the Trinity. I believe in God, our Creator, our Father, our Mother, and I believe in the divinity of Jesus, fully human, fully divine, and I believe in the life of the Holy Spirit, God with us now, guiding us at this very moment in our lives. Even so, we need to ask how the doctrine of the Trinity makes a difference in our lives today. What does it matter? I mean, most Episcopalians don't think about this too often. What does it matter? How can it be for us more than a history lesson? More than a history lesson. Our gospel reading for today was chosen because of the reference to the Trinity. Quote, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Looking at this reading as a whole, what is the context in which these words are used? Perhaps most important for us to remember and to embrace on this Trinity Sunday is this context in which we hear this Trinitarian formula, as it's called. The context is one of being sent by God into the world to make disciples of all peoples. And in our time and place, we are sent and empowered by God, the Holy Trinity, to live as Jesus lived, vulnerable, authentic, loving, engaging others and inviting all to new life, life in community, with respect for all, because all are children of God, created in God's image. We heard that in Genesis today. Male and female, God created them in God's image. In that sense, we are also like the Trinity. And this is the connection. This is the key that I'm working with today, that our life in community, created in God's image, we've been created for relationship and community just as God is. And like Christ, we can invite all to a new life where the grace of God is known in many ways, and certainly when you and I become the answer to each other's prayers. We become as the Holy Trinity is when we are fully ourselves as persons while also being in relationship, in community, to the betterment of the world. We also heard this in Genesis, the whole world. God's beautiful world of people, animals, those winged birds, the plants, the seas, the earth, the atmosphere. Catherine Lechunga, in her book, God for Us, The Trinity and Christian Life, writes, "The doctrine of the Trinity is ultimately, therefore, a teaching not about the abstract nature of God, nor about God in isolation from everything other than God, but a teaching about God's life with us and our life with each other. It is about love, relationship, personhood, and communion or community." If you really want to get into the Trinity, this is a great book to read. She gives all the history and goes into great detail, and it's quite good. And this is her main point, that she wrote this book back in the 70s. This is kind of an old book, but it's lovely because she talks about the Trinity as it has relevance for life, for what's actually going on in our lives. So what is this Trinity? Let's think about it for a few moments. With which person of the Trinity do you connect? How do you imagine God? And this is in keeping with things that we've been preaching about for the last few weeks. I almost feel as though we're doing a bit of a multi-week workshop on how do you understand God? Who is God for you? Trinity Sunday, rather than being a day to get crushed by a doctrine you don't understand, can be a time to give us permission. Maybe we could reverse that completely and we could have permission to be creative and to let God be creative with you. Do you relate to God as our creator, our father, our mother? When you pray to God, do you imagine God in a certain way? I remember so well a question asked of me by someone on the Commission on Ministry when I was going through the ordination process. I was being interviewed by members of this diocesan commission for postulancy, that first official step on the way to being ordained. Usually happens before seminary or before diaconal training if one's called to be a deacon. So it's a very intense kind of experience, an even tense time under the best of circumstances. So there I am, I'm about 26 at this time, and someone very intently sort of leans over the table toward me and says, "Who do you pray to?" And without even thinking about it, I just said, "God and Jesus." And this person asked me again, "Who do you pray to?" "God and Jesus." And a third time, "Who do you pray to?" At which point, the priest who was presenting me said, "I think we've covered that." I never found out what this person was getting at or wanted me to say. Perhaps it was something about the Trinity, that when I was praying to God or Jesus, I was in fact praying to the whole group, the Trinity. I've gone through many times in prayer of thinking of God with me in different ways, many different ways, sometimes as energy, sometimes as Jesus, sometimes as the Sophia of God, God's wisdom presented to us in the Bible as a feminine aspect of God. I felt close to God by inviting God to be present to me in different ways at different times in my life, opening myself to God in this way. God wants to be close to us, to you, to everyone. God wants to connect with us and help us in our prayer to know of God's great love for us. This is, in fact, what the historic creeds are trying to convey, but we might not get that from the creeds as presented. The living God wants to connect with us through the creeds and in any other way, every other way, that speaks to us. On my recent retreat at the Jesuit Center, when I was praying about knowing and experiencing God's love for me, into my prayer ran 20 puppies. God will do anything to touch our hearts. By the way, they were like yellow labs, so cute. It can be a very fruitful question. To whom do you pray? What image or word or idea do you have in mind? And of course, centering prayer, which is the Christian name for meditation, very similar to what Buddhists do, because meditation, centering prayer, it's a way of praying, and we may do this now and then. This might be our main way of praying. It's a way of praying without images, with no thoughts. And when we have a thought, we let it go so that we can rest in the silence and the stillness, where without words or thoughts or images, we experience God. When it comes to the Trinity and Episcopalians, I've found that many of us have trouble with Jesus, specifically. Having come from more conservative religious backgrounds, or even the way just hearing. Well, I grew up not in the church, and so for me it was just hearing the way fundamentalists talked on TV and on the sidewalk about Jesus. Connecting with the Spirit seems easier for many. As I mentioned last Sunday, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is often referred to as she. And when we say the creed, even though it's not printed this way, you'll hear people say that, and that's fine. And it's helpful to many who've come from male-dominated religious traditions. Of course, to some extent, we've all come from that, because the church was founded at a time and in a culture that was run by men, certainly in the public realm. But that does not mean that referring to God as Father is wrong. I've been told by people it's just wrong. I disagree with that. Certainly it's limiting if we stop there, or if Father is our only way to imagine God. I suppose I'm really a both and kind of person. I like thinking of God as Father, Mother in a variety of ways, and in prayer God has connected with me through all of these images. You may remember on Mother's Day, I spent a good deal of time advocating for and giving examples of God as Mother. As far as I can remember, this is the first time that Father's Day has fallen on Trinity Sunday and I've been preaching. I don't remember this ever happening before. So, what an opportunity. What an opportunity this is. Father's Day, being on Trinity Sunday, gives us a chance to think about what is good about thinking about God as Father. On this Father's Day, we give our thanks to our fathers, to all fathers, and whether our fathers by blood or birth, we can thank and give thanks for all the men in our lives who've been there for us, who've mentored us, who've taught us, who've supported us. We give thanks for the gifts that men bring and express in our world. Many, many gifts. Now, of course, not every father or every mother is perfect. Of course not. And that's where it gets tricky using either one of these words and images. It might help to actually think about how Jesus thought about God, how Jesus speaks of God as his dad, Abba. God as Father or Dad, knowing the great care and closeness of God, the familiarity, the great love. David L. Fleming, in his book Prisms for a Christ Life, speaks of God as our Father adopting us, choosing us through Christ to be God's own. Fleming, also looking to John's Gospel, writes of, quote, the Father face of God, being one of God being the God of life, God who works for us, God who teaches, cultivates growth, and most importantly, loves, has love. In our very good desire to use inclusive and expansive language, we need not get rid of any image for God, but expand our use of language to describe God, who on this side of heaven we can know only in part. In the outline of the faith found in the Book of Common Prayer, the Catechism, the question is asked, what is the Trinity? And the answer given is, the Trinity is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is our foundation, and it is a solid foundation. But if we are to grow in faith, if we are to engage others in our world who know nothing about the church or the language we use, we need to show why it matters, how it plays into our lives. I've spoken before about the idea that to believe is something perhaps better translated from the Latin as to give your heart to give your heart to it. If we give our hearts to God, the Holy Trinity, we find our understanding of the Trinity in the ways that we live in relationship to each other, in community for others. God's life is about relationship and community. God, the Holy Trinity. Through God's grace, we too are persons in community and in communion with God, with each other, and with our world. Amen.